What is the dose response between serum 25 hydroxyvitamin D and risk of female breast cancer?
It's a very clear dose response. We measure 25 hydroxyvitamin D, which is the circulating, principal circulating metabolite of vitamin D, in the laboratory. And it varies from 0 to 100 or so nanograms per milliliter. And this can be converted to nanomoles per liter if desired by multiplying the value that I will mention times 2.5 for countries that use nanomoles per liter instead of the U.S. unit of measurement, which is nanograms per milliliter. So it varies from 0 to, say, 120 nanograms per milliliter. And it's very deficient if 20 or less. That causes rickets. And we thought that 20 nanograms per milliliter might be enough to prevent cancer, but it clearly isn't. The dose response curve is flat up until approximately 40 nanograms per milliliter and then shoots downward abruptly at 50 nanograms per milliliter and still more abruptly at 60 nanograms per milliliter. So small amounts of vitamin D are not going to make a difference. Anywhere in the range from 0 to 40 nanograms per ml is not going to prevent breast cancer. But each dose increment above 40 nanograms per ml causes a steep reduction in the risk. So we're thinking that we need to get every woman to a higher level. Namely, I'll talk more about this, but somewhere in the range of 60 nanograms per ml. But anywhere from 40 to 60 will at least produce a noticeable reduction in the incidence of breast cancer. And the cases that occur, according to the data we have so far, will be milder and easy to treat. The lesions will be smaller, they'll be self-adherent, so surgery will be easier, and the probability of metastasis will be reduced with each increasing nanogram per ml by at least 1% per nanogram. So it has a threshold, a flat area, all the way from 0 to 40 nanograms per milliliter, but then it plunges steeply downward, and that's what we know of the dose response. We're still studying it.
And what is the dose response between serum 25 hydroxyvitamin D and risk of colorectal cancer?
It's approximately the same, although the threshold may be around 35 nanograms per milliliter. And so small changes in vitamin D, such as taking the recommended daily allowance of the National Academy of Sciences, will prevent rickets and even help to reduce osteoporosis, but they won't touch the risk of cancer. It has to be at least 35 nanograms per ml for colon and rectal cancer. But as it goes above that to 40, 50, and 60, it goes down by approximately 1% per nanogram, so that it reaches very low level of risk at, say, 60 nanograms per ml. And we're thinking our group is thinking that that's probably the ideal target for serum 25 hydroxy vitamin D concentration.
And are there adverse effects of vitamin D supplements?
Well, at very large doses, there can be. We have examples where people have taken, by laboratory accident, have taken 1,000 times the usual dose. So that would be in the range of 2 million international units per day. And there were some symptoms reported by the people who took that dose. They were adults, and no one lost their life because of it. The real concern is with children, and children have a smaller body mass, so can probably not tolerate great excesses of vitamin D. It should not exceed 1,000 international units, for example, for infants, and for anyone should not never exceed 4,000 international units a day unless under a doctor's supervision with monitoring. And then the dose could go up to 10,000 international units per day safely. But the adverse effects are kidney stones, possibly. We have some studies that, one study that found a 17% increase in the risk of kidney stones, but most studies have not found that. And the study that found the increased risk simultaneously administered 1,500 milligrams a day of calcium carbonate, and the slight increase in risk of kidney stones might have been due to the calcium carbonate neutralization of the urine. In fact, now we believe it was. This was in the Women's Health Initiative. And so it probably is not a real threat. At extremely high doses, where we're talking about accidents of various kinds, where the doses are extremely high, then the possibility exists. And say that would be in excess of, say 40,000 international units per day. There is some risk of renal calcinosis or deposition of calcium within the kidney. And ultimately, with long duration high doses, that could lead to renal failure and death. So it's not totally without risk, but the risks are at doses all in excess of 40,000 international units a day. So we should never go above that under any circumstances, even for cancer treatment. But we're unlikely to encounter any adverse effects at lower doses.
And are there contradictions to vitamin D supplements?
Yes, there are contraindications to vitamin D supplementation. One of them is active sarcoidosis. It's a granulomas disease that is rather rare, but can convert vitamin D lower-level metabolites, such as 25-hydroxyvitamin D, to 1,25-dihydroxyvitamin D, which is a far more potent metabolite, and it can result in an unwitting overdosing with vitamin D as long as the disease is active. Now, most people who have it, it's inactive, so it isn't a concern. Any other granulomatous disease can have the same effect. It can convert the intermediate metabolite, 25-hydroxyvitamin D, to the most powerful metabolite, 1,25-dihydroxyvitamin D3, and result in toxicity. And the diseases involved here are anything with granulomas. That means that it could include valley fever, the San Joaquin Valley fever that we have in California, in the USA, and in some other states. And also cat scratch fever, uncommon, but it is granulomatous when it's active, and possibly tuberculosis when active. Those are the main contraindications.
And what is the serum target for 25-hydroxyvitamin D?
Well, it's different for men and women. Right now, our opinion is that it would be 50 to approximately 50 to 60 nanograms per ml. But I would consider for laboratory measurements that anything in the range from 50 to 80 nanograms per ml would be reasonable. So why don't we say 50 to 80 nanograms per ml? And for women, it would be 50 to 80 nanograms per ml. The 50 will get them to that threshold for cancer prevention, but the 80 will give the physicians an opportunity to take it higher. Ideally, doses higher than that should, or targets higher than that, could be pursued under medical supervision, and that might be useful and probably would in the treatment of breast and colon cancer, but we don't have a clinical trial yet or other tests, so we just have to keep it to the range of 50 to 80 for now.
And how much vitamin D3 per day should men take?
We recommend for prevention of non-skeletal disease, including cancer and diabetes and some other diseases, that they take a dose of somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000 international units a day. And the choice within that range relates to their weight. If they're very heavy, they should be taking toward the high end of the range. If they're very light for their age, they should be taking toward the low end of their range, and how risk-averse they wish to be. For women, it would be 2,000 to 3,000 international units per day. Again, the high end for people that are heavier, the low end for people who are lighter, and it's higher than for men in order to prevent or reduce the incidence dramatically, we believe, of breast cancer.
Well, is there any final comment you would like to make?
I would say that it's important to begin vitamin D supplementation in children, beginning at birth, with 1,000 international units per day. This is the tolerable upper level of the National Academy of Sciences for neonates. And continue increasing it according to age, all the way through age 9, when the child can take adult levels and benefit from them. So it's something we shouldn't wait on. We ought to start in childhood. The second comment is that I believe that we should measure the serum 25-hydroxyvitamin D every year, preferably in the seasons when the sunlight is weakest, and that would be the time to take it rather than in the seasons where there's a lot of sunlight. And it'd be done for every man, woman, and child once a year, and make sure that the vitamin D remains within the targets that I mentioned to you in order to achieve its benefits.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cedric Garland. It's been a pleasure to have you in El Microscopio.
Okay, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Belen, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.